You're listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
All right, guys. Welcome back to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. This is going to be slightly like a different episode, kind of like what I was telling you guys last time we talked. I'm going to kind of try to use this as maybe like a pilot for another kind of podcast and for people listening. Like, I want to do like a one that's more broad about entrepreneurship in general. So that's why I have these guests on today from Ducks Duck Cleaning. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
So I am Jeremiah. This is my partner, Justin. Yep. And we own the number one air duct cleaning and HVAC service in Orlando, Florida.
Yep. So they actually, we met at a cigar lounge.
Yep. Here in town.
In town, yeah. And then, you know, we got to chatting and we did a podcast. I did a podcast with you guys and I invited you guys on. And so it's been really cool that we've been able to network just based off of that. But what I want to do and kind of what we were talking about is just meet more people who are entrepreneurs who are on the same journey as all of us are, right? And, and you know, just build on what each other has done and just try to make something big out of it. At the very least, maybe just get some insight that we weren't thinking about or anticipating. So I think it's cool. And thank you guys for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. One of the things that I wanted to ask you guys, and I don't think we've brought it up, is how did you guys come up in this duct cleaning stuff to begin with?
So I actually went to school for it in a small trade school over in Kissimmee.
Okay.
And so after finishing trade school and getting my certifications, I went straight into working after that for a couple small companies.
Okay.
And then after about like the second company I was working for, 2 years into the field, they kind of showed me, I've never seen it before, air duct cleaning with the company. So they showed me the process, how to do everything. And after seeing a couple jobs being done and the prices that were, you know, being charged by him and like the amount of work that needed to be done was fairly easy. Mm-hmm. You just need like a one-time machine up front and then go from there. So I kind of had the idea, me and Justin were already thinking about, you know, how do we start our own business? We don't want to work for anybody. Like, what skills can we put to the use to start our own business? So I saw that, brought the idea to him. He thought it was great. So we purchased the first machine, started running it out of our personal vehicles, started doing, you know, door knocking, everything like that. Mm-hmm. And we just got the ball rolling from there.
And how long ago was this?
This was back in April 2022. Okay. When we first launched like the website, the Instagram, all that stuff, started door knocking.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago.
And would you say everything's going well? Have you guys been doing better year over year since?
So yeah, this year we're planning on doubling the first year that we've had.
Okay.
So I believe that the trajectory we're on will probably double each year until, you know, we can kind of cap our market, which I think, I'm not sure. There's so many homes in Florida and so many people are moving in. I'm not even sure there's so many work out there for all of us. But it's been great. Yeah, we wouldn't do anything else. I mean, obviously, we have other business plans in the future, but we don't regret it at all. It's been an awesome decision to work for ourselves and everything.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely is enough homes, bro. Trust.
Yeah,
like, for sure. I'm in a super niche, and like, you'd be surprised, like, how much there is. Like, sometimes,
but when you told us, like, I remember thinking when I first saw you guys, I was like, oh, these guys are just like some employees for some small company. And then you told us like you guys are the owners and you guys are scaling it. You're doing over a million and trying to, you know, scale that. And there's, you know, not too much competition, but there is still that need from the hotels and the residential, of course. I saw that. I was just thinking to myself, like, damn, there's so much opportunity in just like the unknown companies, the boring companies, the niche companies. So a company that we're in is, it's a little niche being air duct cleaning, but it's kind of broader in the AC. So it kind of gave me more like hope that it's like, okay, so we have plenty of room to grow. We still have obviously other states and Florida just alone. There's plenty of room to just grow the company.
I've met a lot of people, and one of the biggest things that they don't understand is like, awareness is like very, very important when it comes to any sort of niche industry, but especially service-based stuff, right? Like nobody wants to clean their air ducts. Like, but a lot of people don't know that there's people who are professionals that do that. Just the same thing as like what we do. Like people automatically assume that like the tub is ugly. I got to remodel the whole bathroom. It's going to cost me $15K. Like if they knew that like $500-$600 can solve their problem, like they would do it in a heartbeat. Right. But awareness is a big part of it. And a lot of these companies, unfortunately, are owned by old heads who don't advertise. Yeah,
that's a lot.
Yeah, and you only know if you know already. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I kind of used to be in the same boat until I saw what was possible. You know, like I used to think like there's definitely some sort of cap. And I still think that there is, but I think it's a lot further away than what I anticipated.
You told me the only company that bids you out usually is the one that's like
a national.
National that's doing over $300 million a year.
And it's crazy to me to even like, I didn't think it was that high. Right. That was when we were just chatting and I searched it up. You know, to make over $300 million doing this is insane. Like the fact that somebody even pulled that off to me is insane. But it goes to show like there's so much opportunity and it doesn't matter. Like a lot of people get stuck in their own devices, right? They think that because they're limited right now, that's as good as it's ever going to get. And that's bullshit. Like it's really like personal development, meeting people, networking, and eventually you will be in the position like that. You know what I mean?
100%.
So that's with what you guys do. Do you guys, when you guys go out to do the AC stuff, do you guys need like certifications for that stuff?
For the air conditioning, yeah. Air duct, you don't. We're in the process of getting just kind of a certification for the air duct, just to make sure everything is kind of like right in order. But you know, we have the knowledge and the know-how to do it, and we're not gonna break anything or do anything to, you know, mess up the air ducts. We have no customer complaints about that. So yeah, it's like recommended to get one, but you don't need one.
Okay.
It's pretty like self-explanatory once you start doing it.
Yeah, and Florida is one of those states where like they're kind of lax on a lot of those things. Like in California, if you do what we do, you need like a specialty coatings like license, and you need to have like a license number for your painting license and all this. And in Florida, they don't even categorize what we do as painting.
Really?
It's considered a specialty coatings, and like you don't have to like have a painting.
Well, what's the training process for like one of your employees has no idea how to do it? How long does it get to, like, so they know how to do it like perfectly?
I mean, realistically, to do it perfectly, it could take months. But there are some people who get it a little bit quicker. But I guess it has to do with like, I think they categorize like interior painting as painting, and this is like super specialized, and to an extent, like you're not going to have somebody necessarily going out and doing what we do most of the time if they don't know what they're doing, because they wouldn't even know where to begin. Like the companies themselves kind of police themselves. Where we buy our product, if you guys try to buy from them, they'll just tell you no.
Like the training process for us would be like a few hours.
Yeah. So that
would be like for duct cleaning, it'd be like super easy training process. The AC, obviously, like, you know, if we're going to have anybody else do it, it's going to be someone certified. Licensed and certified, yeah.
Even to work on AC, you need a certification.
Okay.
Like, to run a business, like, you have to have the certification, like Justin's saying, for the AC to even work on it.
Okay.
So, anybody we employ has to have at least their EPA, and you have to go to some type of schooling, either online or in person, to get that and pass the test in person, too, so.
Okay.
That makes air duct cleaning, there's not any type of, like, air duct cleaning license. It's only kind of, like, an air duct cleaning like certification, like,
okay,
with like the whole like nation pretty much.
And
like,
you guys have a lot of potential, especially being that it's Florida. I mean,
yeah,
it's
Florida's
hot.
The best spot for us.
Yeah, it's hot 80% of the year here, so and people hate when their ACs don't work, so what are some struggles you guys have had on this journey? You know, like I everyone likes to hear about the successes, but a lot of people are going through some struggles that you might have gone through and overcame. So, like, what would you say is some of the ones you guys encountered?
I would say first would probably be our machine at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because we ran through hoops on, You know, like when we first got the machine, you know, we had to go with the lower end one.
Okay.
So, you know, we got the cheaper model to start off with. And on our first couple jobs, it literally broke down in the house, middle of job. So, like, that puts off weeks of work for us. And it looks so bad in the house with the customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a brand new machine. So it's like, you can explain it to the customer, like, listen, we literally just bought this machine. It's a new machine. This and the third, but they just look at you differently, even though it's not your fault. So that's been one issue.
Yeah, we understand. But then at the same time, it's like, it's embarrassing. Like, they're thinking you're unprofessional and whatnot. And it kind of is unprofessional on the end of the manufacturer, because you'll call them up and they're not like, you know, there's not an answer right away. Yeah. It's, oh, try this, that, mm-hmm. the third, four, five. You're trying some stupid thing to try to fix it. Like, I'm not a technician on this machine. Like, it's stupid to be fixing a machine that I don't know, like, what I'm doing, really. And obviously, we got it fixed for the time being, then they send us a replacement or whatnot. But, yeah, so that would be, like, probably the first struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, with us, it's a similar thing, because we don't use, like, regular air compressors. We use, like, turbines, like HVLPs. So they're, like, it's basically, like, a high-speed fan. It's a turbine. And those things can go out like nothing. Mm. So when we spray with one of those, like, sometimes we're in a pinch and we have to buy these like cheap ones, because it's like, that's like the only option, because the actual ones we use are like $2,000. And so like if we do that, sometimes they go out in a similar situation. Like the customer just looks at you like,
yeah,
you should be prepared for this.
Right.
So yeah. I totally get that. Like it's just one of those things, but, That's definitely something. Now on the business end of it, like, have you guys had any struggles with like the brand building stuff? Like, what was that like when you guys first started? Like, hey, we're gonna take this serious and like try to make our brand image what we want.
When we first started, we started off with like a pretty simple website.
Okay.
I think Jeremiah built it, and then eventually we got someone else to like do some work on it. But we had just our website ranking like 200 probably.
Okay.
Like under 200. And we were trying to open up the Google business, because obviously that's where most people see you and you're able to kind of put ads out, and it wasn't working.
Okay.
We get no customer service on it. We tried to contact Google, nothing we could do for like probably over a year. And then so that was probably like the biggest hindrance in the first year, where we were just kind of relying on like a lot of door knocking, flyers going out, just kind of like old school tactics for mm-hmm. marketing. We were just kind of doing that, and we had a partner that was who moved to New York or New Jersey, one of the two, and he was providing us leads that he still had from Florida. So that was keeping us afloat and keeping us, you know, getting steady. And from there, customers would recommend us. So that was kind of like, you know, we get a couple things here and there. So that kept us afloat the first year. Then the second year, we were able to finally get our Google business, where that's been like the taking us off.
Okay.
For sure. Where we're able to put out ads and get our website like cleaned up. Yeah.
When you guys are running Google ads, just out of curiosity, are you guys running a like a traditional kind of campaign, or have you guys tried the Performance Max campaigns? So
when we just started re-optimizing, because I think we spoke about this last time, or I don't know if we did, but we had an issue about 2 weeks ago. I called the guy up because our performance was like really slowing down, and like we're on maximized conversions and super slow, or for maximized clicks, like we're popping up for like random stuff that we don't want to be popping up for. So I called the guy up, and it found out that we had 3,700 search terms that we were popping up for constantly. So I had to go in and delete all the search terms, and then he kind of did some things where, like, he took some budget off of our first one, which is a search campaign, and then started a lead max one,
okay,
the performance max one after. So that's been like, what's it called, like learning the system,
yep.
bid strategy learning for about, like, a week, and then, like, just about, like, maybe yesterday or 2 days ago, we start to get a little bit more of influx calls in. And I think that's why everything's getting re-optimized now.
Yeah.
But that's something we've just tried now. I don't even know the difference, because I don't know too much about it. That's why I just call the guys up, like, because they're the specialists. Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, you guys need to see what's going on. I'll just be your hands on my back end, you know what I mean?
I do recommend, if you guys have time, to just at least learn what each different type of ad does. Performance Max, the biggest difference between that and a regular campaign is when you make a regular campaign, you're telling Google, I want to do a search campaign. When you're doing Performance Max, you're telling Google, I want you to put my ad anywhere and everywhere that people are searching for it within my parameters. So Performance Max will put up ads.
Where do you see Performance Max?
YouTube, Google. It'll come up on the sidebar if people are searching. It'll come up. It can come up on. It can come up on through search partners. So if like when you Google something on Safari, or you search something up on Safari, and it'll like automatically re-go to like Google, even like old school shit like Ask.com and shit is owned by Google now. So they'll put you in search partners. In search partner sites and stuff like that. When you have a traditional type of campaign, that's something that you need to ask Google to do for you. If not, it'll just do it as a Google search. Also, Performance Max will also try to, it'll change the ad depending on what people are likely to do. So let's say Google has data that the customer that's searching up duct cleaning likes to talk on the phone. They like to call. It will literally remake your ad as a call ad for that person because it has prior data that they like to call.
Yeah.
So your ad for them might not be just text. It'll have a little thing that says call now and they click it and they can just call you. And vice versa. If there's someone who fills out a lot of web forms and that's a conversion action you have set up for, then Performance Max will make that ad more so that that person goes through and clicks and fills out the form. Mm. It's a smart type of ad, but the thing with smart ads is that if you are not babysitting it for a little while, it will learn the wrong thing. So like what you were saying, a lot of keywords that you might not want will start, your ad will start coming up for that. And the reason for it is if you don't tell Google it's doing something wrong and you don't make any change, it's assuming it's doing the right thing because you're not intervening. So it's like, oh, well, this must be working. They're still paying for the ads. They haven't made any change. So this must be the kind of leads that they want. And if you don't step in, then you're just going to be throwing a lot of money away, which is why I'm saying I recommend learning a little bit of at least your keyword planner and seeing where your ad is coming up. And anything that's irrelevant, just add it as a negative keyword. That way you're teaching Google everything here is good, everything here is not good. And it'll start to learn. And it'll do it quick. But if you let it run rampant, it'll spend your money. One of my cousins, actually, he does the same thing we do. He does tubs and stuff like that. He was running a Google ad campaign last year with an agency, and he spent $15,000 in like 3 days. Ooh. Just blew his fucking money. The guy didn't even put the locations correctly. He put all of Florida, and he used keywords. First of all, broad keywords are a no-no. That's like... Google's smart, but it's only smart if you're policing it. If you put duct cleaning by itself, anytime the word duct and cleaning and the combination and someone says duct something, or it doesn't even matter, it'll come up with that. Because the broad means anything having to do with this at all, I want my ad to come out for. So... That's why a lot of people, they'll either use a phrase match, which is, it needs to be in that order. So duct cleaning one after another. You can't just separate duct and cleaning. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, your ad could come up for a cleaning company. If somebody searched up house cleaning, your shit could come up. You don't want that. That's not what people are searching for, right?
Which way we were on broad match.
Yeah,
just change it over all to phrase match.
Yeah, broad match is... The only way broad match works is, I believe, if you are like a fucking jack of all trades, like a handyman, that you could just do whatever and you just want as much traffic as possible. But even then, it's like, again, if I search up house cleaning and duct cleaning comes up, you're just wasting ad space. You know what I mean?
Or you're selling some type of product or something like that.
Products also could help, yeah, for sure. But yeah, so Google systems are smart, but... If you're not policing them, they will just run rampant with your money. And also sometimes they'll just not work. Like you'll just be, you know, you might not even spend any money, but you're just not getting any results either. So that's not helpful.
Yeah.
But yeah, Performance Max, when you do it the right way, it does help, and it's, I think it works better than a traditional campaign for what we do, because Google does have people's data and they kind of conform the ad to what the person likes. So like, I used to never run ads on YouTube, but Performance Max runs ads on YouTube, and like, I get leads from it, from it. Now you have to have a video to put up. So I have like a video that we made years ago, and I link it to that.
A video of what, you doing the job, or just explaining?
It's like a explainer video, like one of those ones with like a person drawing, like a marker, you know. Oh, okay. Like it's I'll show you it after the fact, but it's just like a little 2-minute video. But I get people who like, they'll click on it and they'll become a lead from that. And that's another reason too. It's also important to make sure your conversion tracking is set up properly, things like that. Make sure that you know what is converting also. I had an issue a little bit ago where the calls and the website leads were all under conversions, and I didn't know which one was from calls, which one was from the site, and it was kind of a pain in the ass. So I had to get that fixed. You want to know where people are coming from, right? You want to know how many are calls, how many are website leads, and that way you can kind of adjust your marketing strategy after you have the data. So I definitely recommend it. You know, I know you guys are using it now. I would just say, like, just keep tabs on the keywords, and if you see anything weird that shouldn't be there, just make sure you tell your guy to add that to the negatives, because if not, you will start spending money. And the thing about Google is, man, is that once it thinks it knows, it'll keep pushing. So, like, if you don't tell it to stop broad matching, it'll start broad matching other things until you tell it no.
That's probably what happened with us. Yeah. It was about like maybe a month of like this kind of going on, because then we kind of reached out to the guy. And then,
were you guys getting any of calls from like foreigners asking for work from TikTok or Facebook? Because we were getting those.
Yeah, on Display Partner.
Not really.
Or not Display, this Google Search Network.
No, but what? Here's the thing too. This is something that I also recommend, and a lot of these people who have agencies also don't do it. With Performance Max, especially, what I've seen is that it will go outside of your location if it thinks it's not finding enough leads. And so what I would do, instead of just targeting where you want to go, is that I would also manually add everywhere you don't want it to show up. Because if you don't, then it'll start picking out of your of where you're targeting.
Yeah.
It'll try to push it.
Like, people were calling saying, like, oh, I saw your ad on TikTok or on Facebook saying that you're hiring.
Yeah.
For air duct cleaning. Well, if that's the case, it probably is probably BS, bro.
Is Google Partners, like, what's it
Google
called?
Google Search Partners.
Yeah,
Google
they wouldn't do that.
Like, when we click on it, like, when we
had it off, it stopped. Yeah. When we had it on, it started.
It's like almost immediately. It's weird.
Other people had the same problem. Like on people were talking about it on Reddit. They had the same problem.
It could be something having to do with that. I've never seen it the way you guys are describing it, but I do know that there's like scams that people will find companies and pretend like they're at hiring and then try to finesse people. So it could be something like that, where somebody got your guys' name and just used it. But I've never had that issue in particular. I have had like, why I was mentioning it, I've had people from like India and shit call me and asking me like to do their work in their house and shit. And it stopped when I manually added the locations I don't want it.
So you put like everywhere in the world pretty much where you don't want?
Yeah, even other states. Well, in the United States, I would put every state except for Florida as like no. Mm. And then in Florida, I'd leave it open, but then I'd only do what I'm targeting. Right?
Exclude everything else.
And then exclude everything else. And then I would manually add all other countries as no. And even though it's like a lot of like typing.
Gotta do that.
It's worth it because, like I said, bro, Google's smart, but it needs to be told, like, don't do that. Or not allowed to even like start looking that way.
I don't think we've gotten anything from another country, have we? Just a couple other states.
Okay.
And it was ads for sure that they were seeing.
Yeah.
There's another setting too that I recommend looking into. We're getting really in deep with the Google talk, but there's a setting that says.
But it's so important. Like, I feel like so many people, they'll be like so confused about it. Yeah, hire an ad agency, like you said, your cousin, spent thousands of dollars on it. Ad agencies like half-ass it too because they're just looking for money.
Well, some people, just because they had success with one or two products, they think that they know Google Ads, and it's different from industry to industry.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're selling a product to everyone in the country, you can not know how to do Google Ads and be successful.
Yeah.
Like, I guarantee you most like small businesses struggle with Google Ads.
For sure.
Like, definitely.
There's a setting that says to allow the ad to be seen by people in the state or who have recently visited the state. And then there's another setting that says people who are often in the state or live in the state only. Mm. That's the one you want to do.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, especially in Florida, somebody might look up duct cleaning and like they might still see your ad if they were just in Florida and went back home to Georgia. You know what I mean?
Makes sense.
And it's because if you don't tell Google, they don't know. And honestly, Google should do a better job of educating people on that. And also, there are fucking bullshit helpers that call you to try to get you to spend money. Like, a lot of the times, those people aren't helpful. The ones like
the one guy you met was pretty good.
He was pretty good, yeah. This guy in a shot.
There's some of them.
The guy who built it for us was really good too.
There's some people who will call you from Google, like saying like, "Oh, I'm your Google Ads expert," whatever. And I had one once that like tried to get me to put $1,000 a day on a campaign. I was like, "What are you? Why?"
Really?
Yeah. Then I just block him now. Like, do you know like what you're doing? And he's like, "Yeah, put these keywords." And he's like, "Put them broad." I'm like, "On $1,000? Like, I will play the only time you use broad match ever is if you don't know what keyword you should be coming out for, and you want to do a test to see like. Okay, like what? Like, I'm gonna let Google go for a week and see where I'm coming out from, and then from there you collect the keywords that are doing the best that have to do with what you want to sell, and then you collect those and make them phrase match. He was telling me to put $1,000 a day with 4 keywords that were broad match. I'm like, I'm gonna go bankrupt, bro. What are you doing? And even with that, like I on the regular, because my ads are really optimized, I spend like $15,000 a month on Google Ads. Like the budget's usually between like $500 and $600 a day. It doesn't always spend it, but sometimes it does. But
does it ever go over your budget?
It can, but
that's happened to us like multiple times.
The way I see it is that, well, first of all, it'll never go over the daily average. So what they're
times
really?
Yeah.
So because the way that they explain it to you
what they do is mostly like by the month.
That's what it is. They like average it out.
Yeah, so, because they'll be like, you can go over this few days, and then these other few days you will be under.
Yeah.
So they'll kind of like balance it out
if,
that way.
If the daily average is $100 a day, right, at the end of the month, when you count up everything and then divide it, it shouldn't go over 100. But there might be a day where you spend 150.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But then there's definitely going to be a day in there where you only spent 40. That's kind of how it works.
Do you notice that if you put more money into your ads that are optimizing, you get more return on leads? So, like, say you're at 500. What if you bumped it up to 1,000? Do you think you would double the leads coming in?
It doesn't always work that way. Google has a grading system. It's called AdRank. And the way that they look at it is a lot different than how it used to be. It used to be whoever had the most money is going to be on top. Because they're auctioning off keywords. But it's not like that anymore. Because Google, before anything else, they care about giving the end user relevant information. So they rank the ads based off of the titles, descriptions, pictures. And if your ad is well optimized, you will very much pay less for the top 3 spots than if you just put a shit ton of money behind it. Like, they will outrank you and they will spend less money. Because their ad is more relevant to what the person's searching. So that's something to consider. Now, theoretically, if your ad is super optimized and all your ads are perfect and you put more money, as long as the search volume is there, yeah, why not? It'll probably increase. I mean, I know for sure that I get way more leads at 500 to 600 a day than I did when I was at 100. Like, I'm talking about like one day we'll do $7,000 or $8,000 worth of work.
Yeah.
Like that's how much leads we're getting on average, right? Like we're getting enough work where spending $15,000 a month isn't a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it doesn't always mean that just because you put more money, you're going to win. A lot of people think that, like, oh, I'm getting beat out by this person on Google Ads. They must be spending more money. That's not how it is. I lose auctions sometimes, even though I'm spending more. And my ads are well optimized, but there might be one keyword that the competitor's ad is better in Google's eyes. And they might beat me for that keyword that day. Now, my goal as a company is not... My mind has shifted on this a little bit. My mind as an advertiser and as a company isn't to get the cheapest ads, you know, return on ad spend ever. My goal is to be able to afford the most. Because if somebody's ad budget, even if they're beating you, is only $1,000 a month, and I'm spending $15K, it doesn't matter if they beat me once or twice. The rest of the time, they're not even in the race. See what I'm saying? So my goal is not just to get as much cheap. My goal is to be able to outbid them as far as volume goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, like I have a competitor that when he runs ads, he's up there with me. Sometimes he wins. But my ad budget's way deeper than his. So he might run ads for a week, and then the rest of the month, there's no one even close. And it's because I'm always running ads, and it doesn't matter how busy we are.
You can see the other person, yeah, like how they're comparing against you.
Yeah, Google gives you the data. They don't tell you why they're winning, but they'll tell you that they're winning. Like
I've seen, like, on our Google page, like, I mean, I can pull it up maybe, but it says, like maybe Air Titans, but it says like a percentage, but I don't really know what it means.
Yeah, it depends what it's filtered to. There, when that section of the Google Ads, it'll tell you like page above rate, which is like how often are they above you on the page.
Something like that.
There's one that's top of page rate, which is how often they're at the top of the page. It depends on what you're looking at exactly, but yeah, I'm familiar with that. There's also outranking share, which is like how often are you outranking or are they outranking you, and it'll tell you that data. You know,
this Search Auction Insights.
Yeah, so you guys are number two, according to this. And what do you have it filtered to? You have it filtered to yesterday. So yesterday, you guys were number two to them as far as impressions.
Who was number one?
Air Titans. And then third is Frank Gay.
Dang.
That motherfucker's got money. Frank Gay's crazy.
Frank Gay is crazy.
Yeah, bro. Their little radio jingle's crazy. But they have, like, you see right here this little tab menu?
Yeah.
You click that, and you can change it to what you want to see. So I'm going to set it to top of page rate. This is going to tell you how often you and your competitors are at the top of the page yesterday. This is set to yesterday. Yeah. So yesterday, the top of the page is top three spots. So click to air duct cleaning was at 84%. At number one, 84% of the time they were number one. Frank Gay was at number two, 79% of the time. And you guys were at number three, 78. So you guys were top three. So you guys are ranking in the top three consistently. Now, that difference, if you're at 78, then the other, you know, other percentage might be that you were at number two or number one. They're not going to tell you exactly where you were unless you're number one, then you'll know because you'll come up number one.
I see.
But you were in the top three, which is good. That's where you want to be.
Where we were in the last week.
Yeah, I could. So if you want to set it to the entire week, you would go up here where it says yesterday. You click the calendar and you would set it to the last 7 days.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you the week. So on the week, you guys were. Set it back to top of page rate. Number one was Air Duct Now. Number two was First One Services. Number three was Air Titan. And everybody else who wasn't top three is considered like back here in this other section. If you're not top three, you're not going to show up in the top of the page rate because you weren't in the top of the page. So on average during that week, you guys were not on the top. That's why it's important to know this because you can make these adjustments and get it. Now, you can go to outranking share and see who's winning there. You go to outranking share and, like, you guys are being outranked by DNA Duct, by Mr. Duct Cleaning, and by Frank Gay, Air Duct Now, Firestone. These people are all... What outranking means in Google's eyes is they are consistently ranking higher than you because their ad is better. Mm. They're telling you that these people might not be paying more than you. their ad is better than yours in Google's eyes.
So you had to do some changes.
Yeah, well, it could also be you guys made a major campaign change in changing, and that takes time. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you what the information is saying. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, especially when you make a big change. It takes Google a little while, especially if your campaign is still in learning, to, like, properly place you. But a lot of it might be, your bid strategy still says learning, so you're chilling. Yeah, it's not a big deal, I don't think, as of yet. But Google's just basically telling you, like, these are the people that you should be looking at and what they're doing to try to get better. They give you the information. They don't give you detail, like, this is how you beat them. They will tell you who's above you. And, like, you know, that way you kind of have an idea. And then they have this thing that says position above rate. That means how many times is someone directly above you and what percentage. So Frank Gay's number one, Air Duct Now, Air Titans, like, you know, these ones are like the top three that you're competing with.
Yeah.
So, well, that your ad is competing with regularly.
Air Duct Now is in Tampa.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Damn.
Okay. Well,
beating us?
It might be that they don't even know that they're advertising all the way over here. Could be.
Unless they drive.
Or they might drive. Yeah. They might drive over here, yeah. I'm looking at the 30-day range just to see if there's anything different.
Yeah, check out whatever.
You know, it's one of those things where a lot of people, and it's true what you guys said, a lot of these people don't even know how to read this stuff, and it takes a while because I didn't even fully understand it until I saw enough videos to where, like, I had to. So in 30 days, you guys are going to like this. Top of page rate over a 30-day period, you guys are number two.
Good.
So you guys are at 81.8 and Frank Gay's at 81.89. So you guys are almost neck and neck, which is good. Which means that, you know, whatever you guys are doing definitely was working, is working. Now, remember, like I said, learning periods, it could be a week, could be 2 weeks sometimes. So that data from 7 days ago is probably skewed considering you guys made a change recently. But over a 30-day period, you're right there with them.
So do we pop up on their end too?
Oh, yeah. They know.
So they see us. We're on their radar.
Yep. Of course.
Frank Gay, if you're watching, coming for you.
Yeah, no, they know. And the thing is, too, is like, but it's like I said, it's so hard to gauge because there's a formula to try to understand how much competitors are spending, but it's not exact. Basically, it's the formula is like ad rank plus your daily spend and divided by how many days is like comes up with a number of like how much you should spend if you want to outrank them. But here's the thing. The outrank is the rank of the ad isn't always like easy to find out because your ad might be ranking at like a C. They might be ranking at a B, not necessarily an A. So if you overshoot, you might just end up spending too much money, which is why my strategy is like, I'm not going to beat them in like, always having the best ad. I'm going to do the best I possibly can. But my strategy is like, I'm going to outlast them in the auction. They might get the first 10 leads of the month. And in my industry anyway, like it's small enough to where like that might be good for them for like a whole month.
Yeah.
But I'm still running
collect
ads.
Collect all the rest of them.
Exactly.
The
and I and month. I get them for cheap.
Yeah.
Because there's less competition.
So in your space, do they stop? Like running ads, like throughout half of the month, they're not consistent.
Not all of them, but sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. There's very few companies that constantly advertise. I'm one of them. I always advertise, but there's companies that they get a little bit busy and they just stop. They just stop.
That's strange.
It's not when you think about how people think about advertising. If you meet enough business owners, you're gonna start hearing them like, oh, you know, I got busy and that way I could save on advertising. Like I got this project now and I didn't have to run ads. It's like, why not?
Yeah.
I always bring up the example of the giant companies. Coca-Cola doesn't need to run ads, but they do. Why?
Yeah.
Why do they do it?
Just to build the brand still. And it is a tax write-off for them.
Yeah, but like they run ads because there's value there. It doesn't matter. It's to keep you at top of mind. And they like... things can change tomorrow. You know, a lot of people think things are like absolute. Tomorrow there could be a gigantic scandal about Coca-Cola and they can go under. And
like when Cristiano Ronaldo moved the Coca-Cola bottle away and their stocks plummeted.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that.
He's like water only.
Oh, let's say
the stocks went down. I think they like huge percentage where it's like like you calculated like losing billions.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, like some of these brands are gigantic, but like nothing is absolute, bro. Something could happen and their people are going to be like, weren't we spending ads up until this point? We could have made this much more money before the scandal. We would have been okay. Like, that's how you got to think about things. Is like, I always think of like, yeah, I have this project today, but what if I don't have one tomorrow? Then like, I try to turn the ads on when you need them. That's the worst. When you try to turn them on the moment you need them.
Yeah.
Because now you're waiting around for something to come up.
Right.
Where you should always be ahead of the curve. Especially when you have employees, bro. You cannot...
Well, I mean, like, I think we came into the idea of the company a little bit different than maybe some other people.
Mm-hmm.
Where some people start a company like, yeah, we want to start it to be independent and to kind of work for ourselves. But also to grow it.
For sure.
You want to grow it to a scale where you're sustainable, where you're not like slaving away. I think a lot of other people, they start a company to, you know, yeah, work for themselves, but like the company is the job. Like,
yep.
That's their only mindset. So I think a lot of people can get stuck in that and they're not thinking like, how can I scale? How can I, you know, grow it over time? So I think that's one reason like, yeah, we're only 2 years in now. We've had our hurdles and whatnot, but we had that mindset of growing it to a point where, you know, eventually we're in the whole, all of Florida and other states and whatnot. So the idea of like running ads constantly for us was kind of like a no-brainer.
Yeah, for sure. It's all about the mindset of what you're setting out to do also. You know what I mean? Like, and that I always go about it from my context, right? My context is I want to grow a business, so I'm always running ads. But that might not be what everyone's looking to do, you know? And that's okay, too. But when people typically, you know, when people are listening to things like this, it's because they want more, right? To do the bare minimum, if you guys just wanted to keep you guys busy forever, would you need to run ads all the time? No, probably not. Like, you guys could probably set a certain, you know, budget and... just be chilling until one day you can't do air ducts anymore, but you guys want more for your business. So, you know, I get what you're saying. It's 100% true. Like, and I'm the same way. That's why I'm always running ads. I want to build something that's worth building. I want to have a crew and people and stuff like that and scale it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if, you know, you hit a limit with whatever you're doing now, like me personally, like, you know, with the tub thing, if I hit a limit, I can put some of these principles towards something else that might be able to scale bigger. Like, I know for a fact I could probably scale a general contracting company bigger than Tub Refinishing because there's $1 billion companies that are contractors, right?
Yep.
Versus a super niche thing. So,
yeah.
But it's all about like where your mindset is, how big you want to grow and stuff like that. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to end this one here and we'll do one more. So I'll piece it up into two episodes. That way, if you guys need to use the bathroom or anything, we'll do that.
Sure.
So I'm going to end this one here, and then we'll go ahead and continue on, and we'll do another episode. All right, guys?
Awesome.
Do you hear?
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Maybe like it's like they're gonna hear it.